something before they knew they shouldn't do, and then they deal with the consequences of it. I was thinking back this week to a time I was 12 years old, and a good friend of mine at the time, Peter Herring, he was over at my place, and I had this BB combination Pelican. And the way it was, you put, if you could fill it up, put the BBs inside, and it had a holding place, and then you could cock it back, and you could put the pellet in if you want, but if you cocked it all the way back, it would grab one of the BBs from the chamber, and then you'd push it forward, and it was an air pump, so snap, 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 and then you could shoot it. So we're shooting at targets one day, and Peter was beside me, and I remember just we were at the house, we were standing, and I cocked the gun back, And the thing is, sometimes when you cock it back, usually there was a magnet on it, it would grab the BB and it would pull it back. But I pulled it back and I saw there was no BB. So I pulled it back and then I put it back in place. And then I went and Peter was there and I pumped it, like usually three times how many times you pump it. I pumped it three and then I pumped it two more times. And then I took the gun and don't do this at home. This is really stupid. But I took the gun. I put my finger in front of it. And I said to Peter, again, it's stupid. I'm not, you know, there's no question about this. But I put my finger in front of the gun. And I like, you know, there's no BB in it. But I'm going to be, you know, show him I'm tough. And I say to Peter, dare me? Do you dare me, Peter? And Peter's looking at me in awe, like, you idiot. What are you thinking? Dare me? Poof. And then this warm feeling kind of came around my finger. And then I look down, and it's like blood is gushing, and I see this reflection of a BB inside this finger right here. I think I might still feel it. I don't know. Anyway, but it was there, and then I remember Peter ran to the house, and my father was there, and I remember my father came out, and we had this Ford Ranger truck, got me in the truck, and we went to the hospital, you know, and I'm there, and they put the needle in to freeze it, and they're gouging around, taking out the BB. Just stupid. Yep, I'm not trying to defend myself. There's no arguing. It's stupid. No, I never did it again. But I knew I shouldn't have done it. But I still did. There was no question. When I put my finger, like you don't do that. Even if there was nothing, you don't put your finger in front of a gun and then especially press the trigger. But anyways, I knew I shouldn't, but I did. Well, this morning we're going to get into God's Word, and the thing is, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And Jesus is going to present to us something that we shouldn't do. And we're going to know we shouldn't do it. But it's one of those things, although we know we shouldn't, we still do oftentimes. And when we do, we deal with consequences of it. And what I want to do this morning, I want to get into this passage and just identify what it is that we're not to do and gain some insights how we can go about not doing that which we're not supposed to do. Anyways, that's our goal this morning. So Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 is what we're going to be reading. Before we read this, I'm going to pray and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what's contained in it. Thank you for the wisdom that is present there before us, God. And I pray that we'd implement what we hear this morning into our lives and it would bring about change. God, I pray for transformation in our lives, God, through what's contained in your word. And may it be something that we allow to guide us, God. May we be sensitive to your spirit and allow you to do the work in us that you desire for us too as we follow your word, God. So I pray you do work in through myself and every person here. And God, may we listen. And God, may we apply. And God, may you be glorified in that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And this is what it says. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these, all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What we're going to cover today, I've addressed at different times in the past, and I think these are things we need to be reminded of, because we might get on a certain path and then we sway off. But I want to ask you, do you worry? Don't answer out loud, because everybody did honestly. I think, there's some more than others. Jesus says you're not supposed to. Jesus says don't worry. The English word worry, it comes from an old German word, which means to strangle, actually. And that's really what worry is. And you know, it's like this emotional strangulation that kind of gets a hold on you and it just kind of snuffs the life out of you and doesn't allow you to live life the way that God desires for you to. That's what worry does. That's your experience. That's my experience. When worry consumes you, you're not living the way God desires for you. Your joy and satisfaction in God, it's not where it's supposed to be. And life, you're not living life the way God desires for you to live life, because it has its hands around your neck and it's choking the life out of you. I want you to understand, when we're talking about worry, there's something that's awfully close to worry. It's seemingly close, but it's drastically different. And sometimes we can get the two, put them in the same camp, but they're not meant to be in the same camp. They're separate, but they look a lot alike. It's kind of like at our Connect time, whoever's preparing filling the water dishes, they could have kind of put together something that they might have thought was funny, and they could have put within the water dishes at the back vinegar. And at the back, connecting time, everybody go to the back. And somebody, whoever, you would go, say you're the first person in line and you see the jug there and you pour the cup and it looks like a nice, refreshing, cool glass of water. Because that's what spring water, we make sure it's well water, it's good water, it's refreshing. And you take a drink. Let me tell you, if you manage to get that down your throat right away, you spit it all up. Because although it looks like water, it's not water. It's drastically different. You can't stomach it because it's vinegar. Something that looks an awful lot like worry but is so different is concern. The two are drastically different, but they look a lot alike. And I just want to kind of play it out for you. You could play it out in a number of different scenarios in your life. You could look at your financial troubles. There's worry and there's concern. Worry is kind of like, okay, I'm on a track here, and if I continue going the way I'm going, we're going to lose the house, or we're going to lose the car. That's the track we're going. And then you're just constantly thinking about that, and it's consuming you, and you're sick to your stomach. That's worry. That's what worry does. You're just focusing on that, and that's consuming. And then there's concern. It's like, this is the track that I'm on. And I'm concerned about this because I know where it's going to go. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to implement a plan. I'm going to have a budget. And if I follow this budget and I stop spending here where I've been spending it, and I put it into savings, and I'm going to work my way out of this debt. It's going to take some time, and I got some goals in place. But that's what I'm going to do. That's what concern does. It presents itself a plan, and with that plan, you implement it. With worry, all you think about is the end result, and you don't do anything. You're just sick to your stomach. You're going around, you're not doing that, and you think, this is the messed up thing, like you think because you're focusing on it that somehow you're gonna change anything. You're not. You can focus on it all you want. You can be sick about it all you want. It's not going to change anything. What concern does is like, okay, this is where things are going. Okay, I need to implement this and do that, and I can only do so much. The rest is in the hands of God. God's given me wisdom, discernment. This is how I'll follow through, but ultimately God's in control, and I just give it over to God. And then you're not, that's not the focus, that's not the weight. There's no, it's just like, okay, I got a goal in mind. Concern leads you to that worry, you just keep focusing on the same thing. They look alike, but they're not. And what Jesus instructs his followers to focus on, to battle against, is worry. Verses 25 and 26, just to read again, says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I mean, thankfully, he doesn't say don't worry, and then moves on to something else. He says don't worry, but there's instruction and there's guidance in relation to this. Jesus tells them, look at the birds. And they would have been on a mountainside that day. The people would gather and they're listening, and Jesus' voice would be projected out, and they'd hear and say, look at the birds. Probably birds flying around. He says, look at them. They're not worried. You know, God's given them instincts. God's provided food. There's a place they can go to eat. They're not worried about it. And then he says, are you not of more value than they? And if you ever want a question, like, does God really value me? The most common, well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Like, God, Jesus came, died on the cross for your sins so you could have a right relationship with him. That's the value that he places on you. That's how God values you in relation to birds. Jesus didn't come to die for birds. Jesus came to die for humanity, for you, for me. Now, while your Heavenly Father cares for you, he is concerned about your needs, but Jesus doesn't say he's going to cover all your wants. He will look out for your needs, but he's not going to cover all your wants. Because the fact is, sometimes our wants are not in line with what God knows is best. There's us with our limited understanding, and there's God with his. Satoda, she always talking about there's certain friends she has, and when they have sleepovers, they stay up all night. And I don't know if they actually do make it all night, but they tell her that they do. So anyways, they stay up all night. She would love it. If I could tell her, listen, Satoda, next Friday night, Lily can come over, and you can stay up all night, drink pop, eat chips, right up to first, when the sun's up in the morning, you can go to bed. All night you can stay up. She would think that was just a great idea. She'd think that's one. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do that. Because I know Satoda, and at this point, she can't handle not having sleep. If she went a whole night without sleeping, I would pay dearly. And Trisha would pay dearly, and all her siblings would pay dearly. That's like a two-day payoff for her to have one night of no sleep. But I can tell you, if you said to her, listen, Satoda, do you think it's a good idea if you stay up all night with Lily? She'd say, yeah, that's a great idea. Tell my dad. But the thing is, I wouldn't do that because I know that's not best for her. It's not best for anybody. That's what she wants, but I'm not going to do that. It's like with God. So there's certain things we want. Well, I want this, and I want that, and we ask for it. But God's no. I have eternity in mind. You have a limited view in mind. No, the answer is no. I'll look after your needs, but as far as that want, no. Jesus goes on to note how just futile, how ineffective, how unbeneficial it is to worry by drawing attention to that there's absolutely no benefit to it. Verse 27, he says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? The Greek word for cubit can be translated as age, maturity, size. Whatever it's being referred to there, I think maybe size, but I don't know. But if it's lifespan, or it's your size, or how your level of maturity, whatever it is, the fact is, worrying adds nothing to it. Absolutely nothing. There's no benefit. You worry, it doesn't help you one bit. When you're wearing this, there's absolutely, completely and utterly and totally no benefit to it. All you're doing is making yourself sick. Dr. Charles Mayo, founder of the famous Mayo Clinics, they're prominent in the States. He wrote, worry affects the circulation of the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. And the reality is what worry does, it can physically damage us. Worry does, it just causes you to be consumed about that which is the focus of your, that's where your mind goes. And I can tell you from personal experience, when you're worried about something, when you're anxious about something, I would guess you're probably more cranky. You're not so pleasant to be around. I know myself, like there's something on and I'm where I'm not supposed to be in my mind, and I'm worried about that. And somebody says something, you know, mostly you'd find this in your own home, because you might be able to protect it, you know, if you're around other people, but you know, somebody who's close to you, you care about, you feel you have more of a ability to kind of, you know, be a little more snappier. You snap, you say something in a way that you shouldn't say it. Because you're worried about something, you're anxious about something, and it's affecting your personality. And worry is something that we need to be intentional about. If we recognize it, we need to look to address it. You just kind of leave it and just you address it. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The way I have it memorized, do not be anxious for anything, but in all things, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the understanding that that which surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a verse that it comes to mind so often. Because when worry comes, we want to get rid of it. And there's been times that I've come before God and in prayer, and I've pleaded with God about something that's coming up, and it's like after I've prayed, I tell you, it's the weight's removed. Like I come with weight, like there's something on my shoulders, and after I prayed, it's gone. And it's awesome. I love that. It's not always the case. Sometimes I go and the weight's there, and sometimes it's like God removes it, but it's just going to take some time. I just want to encourage you, when worry comes in, it needs to be an indicator that something needs to be lined up. And the thing with worry and anxiety, I mean, some people, there's like a chemical imbalance that people deal with, and I don't negate that, because that's reality. Physically, people have issues. Mentally, there's imbalances that happen. Sometimes you need medication. But typically, what it is, we've taken our focus off that which it should be. Like, we should consider, like, where are we at in the Word? Are we in God's Word? Are we reading? Like, are we spending time? Or are we focusing? In prayer, are we connecting with God through prayer? Are we coming before Him and bringing our prayers and requests before Him? Are we fellowshipping with other people? Like, we just kind of doing our own thing on our own? Are we connecting with other believers like we're told to? Do not forsake the assembling together of others. People that we can share concerns or struggles with. And something you want to have on hand when you're struggling with worry is it's good to have some verses that you can kind of go to. And I'll just give you a bit of a sampling. Because the fact is that at 2 in the morning, you might want to turn on the light and start looking for things that would help. Psalm 9, verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I mean, trusting in God, focusing on God. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. People trust in all kinds of different things. But we remember the name of the Lord our God. Our focus is on God. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That if you're a follower of Christ, you can claim that. Because you love God, and you know things will work together for good. Sometimes you're in the midst of a messed up situation, and it's weighing on you, and you're sick about it, but you can know that whatever the outcome is, God will use, He'll bring good out of it. He will. He says so. He promises he will. And you can trust in that. God, I don't know what's all going to come this, but I'm trusting in, and I know the fact that you're going to bring good out of it. And then I'm waiting to see it, or maybe I'm not even going to see it, and it's something I'm going to have to understand in the future. But God, I can trust, and I can know you'll bring good out of it because you said you will. You focus on that as opposed to your worry. It takes a different perspective. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It just presents something you can be doing, because when anxieties and worries and issues come your way, it says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's like God cares for you. Casting, I mean, you take this thing and you send it out, it's gone. You get rid of it. You send it to God. Here's the full picture of that, though. What we often do, we'll take and, you send that thing out, and then you start reeling it back in. It's like, well, I'm going to think on that again. I'm going to focus on that again. That's what we do, and that's what we're not supposed to. Casting all your cares. Don't bring them back in. I mean, give them to God. Focus on God. Give them over to God. And after drawing attention to the birds, Jesus gets those listening to consider the lilies. He says, just look how beautiful they are. Look how gorgeous. Same with the leaves. You look at that. It's beautiful. That's by God's design, by God's creation. Trisha was sharing this week. She's listening to a message on RZIM, Ravi Zacharias, but there's a guy sharing there. And just how many people are looking for... that which is beyond human, supernatural, or it's like they want to see proof, like some sort of message from the sky, and you go to Mars and you're looking for something from something. Is there life out there? And you're saying like what you need to do, you want to know if there's life beyond ourselves. I mean, just look at a DNA strand. And the information that's there, the intelligent information that would fill volumes of encyclopedias that shows that there's an intelligent designer behind all that we have. And Jesus says, look at those flowers. I put that together. That's by the hand of God, and it's absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. And it's just, that's there for you to see and enjoy, and in a week's time it's just going to be in the fire. He's going to put some more out again, something different a little later. And he says, he's going to clothe the field. He's going to make those trees and those colors so vibrant and so beautiful. Do you really think that he's not going to look after you? He's going to get you some clothes. You're going to have something to wear. What you need, he'll look after that. And he says, oh, you have little faith. Because they're struggling with that. Because God, will you really look after me? Like, really, will you look after me? Because I don't know. I'm kind of worried about this. I'm struggling. And when he says, you have little faith, it's not talking about saving faith. It's not that you haven't placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. And you're trusting in him for your salvation. It's not that it's struggling with the idea that God will look after you. It's this idea that, God, are you capable? Are you able? And God is just, yes. Yes, he is. But when we struggle with that, it's like we're showing our faith is small. I'm reading verse 31. There's a picture of panic here. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? It's making more of an issue than there needs to be. I mean, panic. You know what it's like? I mean, you're just building something up, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting bigger. They've determined, like if you were to take a full glass of water, and you expanded that to fog, one glass of water could be expanded into a heavy fog to cover 7 blocks in a city. I mean, one glass of water, 7 blocks, can shut a city down by one glass of water. I think it's broken down, divided by 60,000 million droplets. You take a glass of water, 60,000 million droplets, you expand it, shut down a city. I mean, it's nothing. It's just a glass of water. I mean, how many times do we build something up, and it's so big, and we're so worked up over it, and we're so worried about it, and then you realize, Nothing came out of it. I mean, I was so worried about that. I was so worried, and nothing came of it. And that's how often we just build stuff up, and oh, this isn't going to work out. This isn't coming together. This, and it's like it does, but we're all building it up and making it bigger than it was ever supposed to be. Verse 32, Jesus, he presents a bit of a contrast here. He said, after all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Gentiles were those who didn't know God. They're just, when he's referencing them here, non-Jewish, but also the idea of those who don't know God. And what they're trusting in is they're trusting in faith. They're freaking out because, you know, is faith going to work out? Because if you're just trusting in faith or trusting in the universe, you know, often you hear people say, oh, thank the universe. What? What does that mean, thank the universe? The universe is just, it just is. You don't thank the universe, but if you're trusting in faith, I mean, that's freaky. I'd be terrified if I was trusting in the universe. I was trusting in, you know, faith for everything to kind of, like, we trust in God. We know whom we trust. We have the creator of heaven and earth. That's who I trust in. I'd be terrified to trust in the universe, whatever that's supposed to be. But, I mean, that's where people trust. That's a scary place to place your trust. And again, Jesus tells us what not to do. Don't focus on things that cause you to worry. Verse 33, he tells us what to focus on. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's where your focus is to be on. Not those things that kind of freak you out and cause you to feel sick in your stomach. You focus on the kingdom of God. I mean, the way that's lived out in your life, practically, it's relationships. You have relationships with other people. You seek to live those relationships out in a way that's pleasing and honoring God. The way you deal with your friends, they do something that's offensive to you. Sometimes you just got to overlook the offense, or you got to forgive them, but you looked at, how would you desire for me to deal with this, God? And when you do that, you're living for the glory of God. I mean, in work, you go to work, and I tell you, if you're just working for your boss, or you're just working to make money, that's exhausting, and it's repetitious, and it's there's nothing to. But if you're working for the glory of God, you do the best job that you can because you love God, and you know that God has given you the abilities to do the things you do, and you do it because you want to glorify God. Then you're living for His kingdom, you're living each day for God. I mean, that carries over to every aspect. Your entertainment, you're looking to glorify God in the things you watch, the things you look at. I mean, if you truly put God first, that's your striving to do. Put God first in whatever it is that you're doing. Worry just subsides. God becomes more the focus and greater and more magnificent, and worry just kind of fizzles out. Isaiah 26, verse 3, speaks to those that, look, if we can get our focus truly on God, it tells us what's going to happen. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Do you see how that works? I mean, if you can get your mind stayed on God, the things of God, living for God, if that's where your mind is, worry is just kind of over here. Whatever you were to focus on and worry, you're not even looking at it. It's just, it's there. You may hear something every once in a while, you know, trying to tempt you, but you don't look at that. Your focus is on God. And you're in peace when you're focused on God. But the temptation is just kind of look at that which is distracting. Jesus finished the section teaching in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I mean, the thing with Jesus, he's straight up. He tells things the way it is. He's not saying, listen, every day is going to be easy, smooth. Listen, you trust in me, there'll be no problems. Everything goes great. No, there'll be some, you're going to face, tomorrow could be a hard day. Things mightn't go the way that you desire for them to. Because if he said they go just the way you want it to, that's what we love to hear, things like that. And some people tell you, trust in Jesus, everything will go great. That's a lie. That's not true. Jesus says, listen, tomorrow, chances are you could have some rough days. And it's interesting because it's like focus on the day. Focus on the day. Don't be focused on the next. Focus on the day. Because tomorrow, yeah, there might be some issues tomorrow, but don't focus on those issues. You focus on today. You deal with today. Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 24. It says this. It says, through the Lord, mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning, God's grace and mercy, it's there and it's available. It's like, there's enough grace and mercy, I'll get you through today. I got you covered. It's almost like each day there's inserted into our bank account. Here's your grace and mercy for today. You focus on today, I'm going to get you through today. I got you covered. The problem is what we do is we tap into tomorrow's grace and mercy because we're so freaked out about tomorrow, but we're not supposed to be freaked out tomorrow. Just focus on today. Today I have the grace and mercy for you. You start thinking about tomorrow. It's not that you don't plan. But it's like you start getting worried about the things tomorrow. You get getting sick about things tomorrow. Let me tell you, focus on today. Deal with today. And then tomorrow will take care of itself. Because I can tell you, oftentimes when you're worried, when you're sick, you're not dealing with today. You're thinking about tomorrow, 6 weeks' time, a month's time, a year's time. There's this old fable about a clock. She just sent this to Gladys one time. But it's an old fable about a clock that stood in the corner of a room. And it's busily ticking away the hours. And this is how it reads. The clock, beginning to think and worry, said to itself, "I tick once every second. There are 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. That means I have to tick 3,600 times every hour. Then there's tomorrow, and the day after that, days and weeks and months lie ahead. In a year, I'll have to tick 31,536,000 times." The clock began to be discouraged, and as it added to the burden of unborn days, to the burden of the present moment of time, it began to run more and more slowly until it almost came to a stop. I mean, looking ahead a year's time, 31,536,000 times. Then the clock had an encouraging thought. After all, it said to itself, it's only one tick at a time. With that flash of insight, the clock gathered strength and carried on with its task, measuring the passing moments one tick at a time. Tick, tick, tick. I mean, there's a lot of insight in that. That's, you know, how often we kind of get ahead of ourselves and we're freaking out over stuff that's not even here yet. And when it comes, we'll be able to deal with it. But if you're freaking out about it now, chances are maybe you're not going to be able to deal with it. So I encourage you, trust God. And just know that he cares about you. And the fact is, the God, of the creator of heaven and earth, he cares about you. He does. And look to make God first in your life. I mean, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Have him as your focus. And you find the more you're focused on God, the less worry has, it just the grip it has around your neck, it loosens. And you can breathe and you can do the things you want to do. And just focus on life one day at a time. Focus on today. Don't be worried about tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, focus on tomorrow. And then there's Tuesday. Don't be worried about Tuesday today. When Tuesday comes, you get that day. Focus on Tuesday. One day at a time. Tick. Tick. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I pray for each and every one of us. God, this is a teaching that it's easy to say, God, but it's another thing to live out the way you desire for us too, God. And I pray for myself in this area. God, I pray for each and every one of us in this area. And God, I pray with what's shared today, we'd bring that into our lives and we'd implement that. And then this strangulation that worry can bring, God, it would lose its hold. And God, we'd be able to live life the way you desire for us to live life. God, our focus would be on you, and we experience life and life more abundant. So God, I pray for each and every one of us here. And God, I thank you that you are who you are. God, I thank you that you are sovereign. God, you ultimately are in control. There's things that we don't understand. And God, there's some things that we gain such insight in this life, and we just thank you for what you did in that situation, even though at the time it didn't make sense, and we can look back and God, thank you. And I realize there's some things in this life we aren't going to fully understand until we're in your presence someday, and you show us, you explain it to us, and then we say thank you. But God, I do pray in this life we would trust in you. Just put our trust in you and not focus on those things that just make us sick, God. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.